let's just sing it this way. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I believe it. And I believe it. Let's just stand and let's worship him. He's here amongst us. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I believe it. Why is healing here? Why is freedom here? It's because Jesus is here. It's because Jesus is here. Since you're, while you're standing, you just take your Bibles. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 1. Amen. He's everything to us. We're gonna talk about him a lot tonight. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Who was that? One like unto the Son of Man, it was Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful to be assembled together in the precious and lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that name is above every name. Lord, you are high, you are exalted, you are wonderful, Lord God. Lord, we have freedom and we have healing. We have everything, Father, because you are here. Because you spoke and your voice uttered out your word, Lord, and we see you in our day, oh God. Lord, thank you. We are a most blessed people, Father. We're unworthy of it. Lord, I know I'm just all bad, Lord, but Lord, you condescend, you came, you died, you shed your blood, God, for me, for each one of us, God. Because of love, Lord. Lord, we're just captivated by you, Lord. What else can we say, Father? Lord, our words can't worship you enough for all that you are. So, Lord, come, Lord. We've invited you, Lord. We're looking for you now to speak, Lord God. Use this vessel, Father. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, God bless you. It's good to be here together in church. Wanted to say that I know a number of people have mentioned, as Furman mentioned, trying to catch up, you know, and he got caught up at midnight last night, and even the pastor mentioned yesterday that his family got caught up. So, you know, if you're behind, that's okay. And I kind of expected that after lessons five or lesson six, that we'd lose some momentum and that maybe people just, you know, the newness would wear off and the excitement of, you know, somebody, you know, a published author, you know, being with us, that maybe some of that excitement would wear off. And I think it has. And that's okay. But what I would say is I would encourage you, you know, some of the other families have been catching up. Catch up. Don't stop. Amen. Don't stop. This reading, not that other book, but reading this book can change your life. Amen. It can do so much for you. There's so much in here. Just last night as I was just prepping and getting things ready, and there's one paragraph I read, and I thought, you know, I could preach five sermons in this one paragraph, like I could take a sermon on each sentence. There's so much here that there's just so much there. And so I would encourage you, don't give up. And those of you that are doing, you know, I know many people are going through it with their families, reading it at devotions, you know, to the younger ones and just going through it. And praise God. God bless you for that. Keep going. Don't give up. If you're behind, you can catch up. It's not that hard. The next few lessons, you know, you'll have like 3 pages each lesson. So I really think that you can catch up and read through the Church Age book. We are going slow enough that you can do it. Amen? Okay, so some of the visitors maybe don't know what I'm talking about, but I think the visitors that are here know that when I was teaching Sunday school at the Tabernacle, I was doing lessons on the Church Age book. And so finally, 4 years later, I'm done with all the lessons, 75 lessons, and put them in a book. And Nathan edited it for me, and then he made the book run red with red ink, and I spent what felt like years editing and doing all of the stuff he told me to do. And so we finally got it done, so anyway, I hope it's a blessing to people. So that's now that that's what we're doing, is we're going through each lesson and together as a church reading through the Church Age book. And so I think that's a blessing, and I think it's a wonderful and noble thing for the church to do. So where we're at now is we're on the Patmos vision. We're in chapter 2. We're on the Patmos vision. And what we've just read through Revelations chapter 1, we talked about in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That was the last lesson we went through, how that we have to get in the Spirit. That is the first thing we need to do. And so now what we're doing is we're still kind of in introduction phase to going through the church ages. And so what we're going to do is we're going to identify tonight who it is that's speaking and learn a little bit more about that. So, before we get into actually going through the lesson, we should go through our questions. And so what is the first step? To get in the Spirit. If you're going, I think we have those slides, you know, if you're going to get revelation, which coincidentally, maybe you didn't know this, but the importance of true revelation by the Spirit in the lives of true believers can never be overemphasized. So if you're going to get revelation, which how important that is can't be overemphasized, you have got to get in the Spirit. So and forgive me, but this morning, were we tired? Was everybody just tired this morning when song service started? Or I don't know what it was, but I was just like, oh, man. Like, come on, y'all. Like, let's go. Let's get in the Spirit. We're here to worship the Lord. He gave us a place. He gave us a message. It is life to us. It is everything to us. And some of us were sitting like pumps on a log. So, you know, anyway, maybe the pastor's place more to chastise you for that kind of thing. But it just, you know, it didn't bother me necessarily this morning because I get it. You know, maybe we're tired. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, let's go. Let's get in the Spirit. This is important to us. This is more important. Well, you know, while we're on the subject of what's important to us, Christians' hearts and emotions are on what? Christians' hearts and emotions are on cheesecake. That's where my heart and emotions are. No, that's the wrong answer. Okay, Christians' hearts and emotions are on video games, right? That's where our hearts and emotions are at. A lot of times, say amen, young brothers. All right. So, okay. Nope, that's the wrong answer, too. All right. Christians' hearts and emotions are on cute boys or girls. Is that the right answer? No, but we think about this a lot, don't we? Say amen, young sisters. All right, so that's not the right answer. So, all right. Christians' hearts and emotions are on Instagram.
Oh, my. Amen.
Some people say no. Did some people say no? That's not where Christians' hearts and our emotions are at. Because I'm sorry. There's a lot of times Christians' hearts and emotions are on Instagram.
That's right.
They're on memes. So there's a lot of time spent on that right there. That I used to have Snapchat, but today I changed that because I think, Snapchat, that seems like nobody does that anymore. But memes are just everything, right? I mean, how would we communicate without... Okay, anyway, beat that dead horse. Anyway, Facebook. There it is, Brother Layton. It's on there. All right. Yeah, this is old-fashioned, News. I don't have newspapers on here. Discord. If you don't know what that is, well, you don't have young teenagers in your house right now. So, and the almighty whatever my friends are doing right now, because that is super, super, super important to Christians, and that's where our hearts and our emotions, and just that's where we're at. I mean, this is where we live. Amen. Except that's not the right answer either,
right.
Is it? No, it's not. The right answer is, as you said, purely on the Lord of glory and his love. Purely on the Lord of glory and his love. This is where Christian hearts and emotions are. Is that where your hearts and emotions are? So let me read this quote to you. I didn't have time to put it in a slide, but I was just, what came to me is we have to understand that where we spend our time really speaks about where our heart is, isn't it? I mean, if our heart wasn't in something, you wouldn't spend a whole lot of time in it. Young brother was just telling me just yesterday, I woodworking and things like that, that's pretty cool. And, I've always wanted to do these projects. And he said he started this woodworking project and he got a couple of boards cut and he's got all this stuff that he can use. But, it's still sitting there. Well, so he obviously doesn't have much of a passion for woodworking, does he? Because he hasn't spent much time there. There's been a little bit of time there, so a little bit of his heart was spent there. But let's just think here. Brother Brenham says, people having ministers today are having such a time getting people out to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. They love television program and they love amusements. They don't want to come to church on Sunday, many of them. They tell me, the ministers, that the church pews are emptying out because the people are beginning to go. The world offers so much class and so much fancy and tinsel upon the things of the world, and people fall for that. Now, that shows that at the beginning, they had nothing to start with. For if you love God, I couldn't wire you away from church. They couldn't chain you away from it. They can't hide a believer from God. He, in his heart, he might be deceived. Now, there's many people actually think they're right, but they just stop and watch your life. You'd see the Spirit of God isn't in there. If it doesn't cope with the Bible, then there's something wrong with that experience that you have. So you must come back and line up with the Word if the life of God is in you. If you love the world better than you love prayer meeting, if you'd rather watch television program than to pray, if you'd rather play a video game than to pray, if you'd rather look on the internet for funny memes than to pray. Because how many days have you gone through a day with little to no prayer and done all of these things? So where is your heart? Is it purely on the Lord of glory and his love? Okay. Well, if you'd rather watch a television program than to pray, there's something wrong with you. If you'd rather take a Sunday afternoon ride instead of going to church, there's something wrong with you somewhere. Because where your heart is, there's your treasure also, said the Lord Jesus. Your heart is built into it. You're a part of it. You become part of Christ because you're built into the structure of Christ, because you're the bride of Christ if you love him. You see, that's why we use terms like bride. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's a relationship. Because it's love. And I don't mean to preach too far onto this, but just seeing Furman and April back there, and I'm reminded of a youth camp And I think it was probably like 98 or 99. And Brother Ron Spencer is preaching, and he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about this relationship. And he comes, and he's, and Furman and April, I think, are just dating at the time. And he asks April, if Furman didn't call her for, you know, a day, how would she feel? If he didn't call her for 2 days, how would she feel? If he went for 2 weeks, didn't call her, didn't, you know, we didn't have texting back then, but, you know, didn't call her, shocking, you know, but didn't call her. And he says, and then he picks up the phone and he calls her and says, hey, sweetie, how are you? After 2 weeks. And he says, sister, how would you feel? Sticks the microphone there, and Sister April says, I'd probably hang up. Why? Why? Because relationship. So the quote that I just read, and as I go through Instagram and memes and all of these things, it's not to condemn anyone. It's not to say these things are so wrong. It's not to say that these things are so bad. But it is to say that if we are going to claim that we have this wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ, well, how do we know? How do you know you have a good relationship with someone? Time. Time spent with someone. So our hearts and emotions are purely on the Lord of glory and his love. And this is where we spend our time. And if our time is invested other things, we should be seeing that maybe we need more of the love of Christ in our hearts. Not that we're evil, but that we need more of him. We need to love him more. Jesus just takes care of all the problems. He takes care of everything. Amen? So what he does is he, you know, and I just love this about him. When he saved us and he justified us, he cleansed us completely from our sins so that we're not, we do not have to worry about our sins anymore. We don't have to sit there and punch the devil in the face all the time. Stupid devil, I hate you. You just, God doesn't want you doing that. Get your heart and emotion purely on the Lord of glory and his love. You get enough into Christ, you aren't going to have to worry about that. Because he is the greatest. You know, you get into Christ and you really start, look, this is reality. He is a person that you can have a relationship with. He's real. And the more you get into him, the more you find out about him, the more you fall in love with him, the less those things that we already mentioned, you know, video games and memes, all that stuff is just going to, it's just going to fall away. Amen. It's Jesus. Amen. Amen. Review. It is you blank and God blank. You ceasing and God doing. God doing, which goes right along with this next one. There is a cry blank for that rest in all hearts. In all hearts. Cry in all hearts. See, it's God doing. It's you ceasing, God doing. And there's a cry in your heart that wants that. I want rest. I want God to do something. And praise God. That's the way he set it up. Is that we struggle so much. We try so hard sometimes. To do right, to be right. Stop. Fall in love with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, so many things I could say. I'm going to try to stay on track. What is the difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day? All right, I got to do it. So, you know, Jesus comes to Matthew, Levi, sitting there at the seat of custom. Can you imagine? And tells him something. He says, follow me. Can you imagine Matthew sitting there and maybe a Pharisee coming by and Matthew going, you know, I just, you know, Mr. Pharisee, can I just bother you for a second? Well, how could I become like you? How could I be better in my life? And I can just imagine that Pharisee just like, you know what, Matthew? I mean, you got to stop working for the Romans. That's the first thing. Your beard is wrong. I don't know if your birth is right. This is wrong. You don't do this thing right. You got to get this thing done. You got to get this thing right. Matthew, you're just all kinds of, I mean, good grief. Do you even try, Matthew? And maybe Matthew would say, yeah, you know what? You're right. I probably couldn't be like that. And then Jesus comes along and he sees Matthew and he says, follow me. Follow me. Just hang out with me for a while. Does he say anything else? Does he tell Matthew, now Matthew, you've got to stop this, you've got to do this? No, Jesus said, follow me. You get into Christ far enough, these things don't matter anymore. Amen? He is everything. Oh my. All right. What is the difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day? So the day of the Lord is the day of judgment. And the Lord's day, that's the day of rest or the millennium. And Brother Nathan said the church age book said something. What did it say?
The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall. The Lord's day is when the days of man are over.
When the days of man are over, but that is the millennium. So that's why I put that here on the slide. So if you have when the days of men are over, that's the correct answer there. Okay, so that moment that everybody loves. Now, I sat here trying to memorize this one tonight because I so don't have this one memorized. And I, you know, to be quite honest, I won't have this one probably memorized perfectly by the time we're even through chapter 2 because this one's hard. But this one is important. And so if we just have it in our minds, then I'm happy. But bonus points to those people who actually memorize it. So as we can say it together, every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and power and receive the full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and care to all members of his body. Amen. That's powerful. That's powerful. We'll get into that in future lessons. So here we go. Here we start our lesson. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, so was this a trumpet? No, it was not a trumpet, but it was like a trumpet. It was a voice speaking, but it was speaking in such a way that it sounded like a trumpet. And so we've talked about this. We went through that teaching on the trumpets, but you know, what is this? And Brother Branham says in the Feast of Trumpets, notice the trumpets that we're speaking of is a call together for either a feast, for war, for a person, some sacred day or something like that. So you remember when we went through that, a trumpet is blown. Why? It's to gather people together. The Feast of the Trumpets was to gather the Jews together to the Day of Atonement. So this voice is speaking like a trumpet. It's not a trumpet, but it is like a trumpet. So we don't have to worry about, you know, the troubles that are going to follow when a trumpet does blow. But it speaks out like a trumpet. Why? It's to gather. He says, notice you say for a person. Yeah. So what is this? What is this coming? This voice is speaking, but it's like a trumpet. So what that's telling us is there's an announcement coming. It's kind of like what Brother Branham talks about, you know, blow the trumpet, you know, get out of the way. Joseph is coming. So this trumpet is sounding. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming. This voice is coming to say, here he is. He's here. Now, who is it? And what did it say? So remember what we're seeing here, what we're getting into is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his works in the oncoming ages. So what we're talking about is who? Jesus. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So this is who is speaking and who what he's saying. He says, this trumpet, it's like a trumpet. It blows and it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, Brother Branham tells us the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought it was the seven seals. I thought it was this is and the that's and the... No, the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, now, that's what Peter said, repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you're ready to go into the Spirit. Now, I didn't read this part right here. You can't get to first base until you believe that. You can't get to first base until you believe that Jesus Christ and is supreme deity. The first thing you have to understand is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's like, yeah, tell us something we don't know. Yeah, this is pretty simple. This is pretty basic. No, this is so important. You don't understand how foundational this is, that you must have and know this truth of who Jesus Christ is, that he is the supreme deity, that he's not a prophet, that he's not just a man, but he is Alpha. He is Omega. And until you catch that, you can't get anywhere. And you say, now, Brother Trevor, we now here we are in this Laodicean church age, and we've had a prophet come, and amen. Amen. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a second. But what is that prophet telling us? The greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must know this if you're going to know anything in the message, anything in the Bible, if you're going to understand trumpets, if you're going to understand seals and ages and vials and everything else. You have got to first start with Jesus Christ is Lord. And you say, Brother Trevor, well, all Christendom does, you know, all Christendom knows that. Oh, do they? Because, you know, if you think four or five lessons back, we went through Godhead and noticed some substantial differences. And this is why these doctrines are important to us, is because what is it about? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, that's what Peter said, repent and then see the deity. Is that what Peter's saying? Yeah, that's what Peter's saying. When he said be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then you're ready to go in the Spirit. Why is Peter saying that? He's saying it, be baptized in this name, because this name is the name above every name. Because this name is the most powerful name in the universe. It's because this name, it's in this name that you have to find your identity. Because it's in this name that Jesus walked the face of the earth. Amen. It's in this name. You see, Jesus came in his Father's name. Jesus came in his Father's name. So what's the name of the Father? Jesus Christ. So he came. And we recognize the first thing you have to know is the deity of Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. I am from A to Z. There's no more but me. I was at the beginning. I'll be at the end. I'm he that was, which is, and which shall come, the Almighty. Think of it. That's what the trumpet said. Be careful, John. You've entered into the Spirit. Something's going to be revealed to you. What is it? A trumpet sound. The first thing, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first of all revelations. What is this voice doing? Identifying who he is. Identifying who he is. Brother Branham, this is out of the message, the Patmos vision. Oh, sinner, bow. Repent now before it's too late. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first thing that he let him know who he was. Who is this approaching? Is this King Jesus? King God? King Holy Ghost? He said, I'm all of it. I'm from A to Z. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the immortal, eternal one. Just a little later, we watch him in the sevenfold personage. Watch what he is then. So what we're going to find is we're going to get in, and Brother Branham is going to, in Revelations here, he's laying out is who Jesus is. And we begin to see that he has eyes flames of fire, and he's clothed from head to toe, and he has hair white as wool, and the seven things that it says about him in Revelations 1. And we're going to go through each one of them in the coming lessons here. But what is it doing? It's describing who it is that is doing the speaking. All right. And that's very important. It's important to know who's speaking. You know, if a little child tells you, you know, you should go do this. Well, okay, that's nice. But, you know, if someone with a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience tells you, you should go do this, you know, it's a bit more important to know, you know, because if it's a little child and, you know, you should go do this, well, you have reason to wonder, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But when the one doing the speaking is the Lord Jesus Christ, when the one doing the speaking is the Alpha and the Omega, if the one doing the speaking is the Eternal One, if the one doing the speaking is the Ageless One, the Matchless One, the Great I Am, Well, maybe we should sit just a little straighter up and pay attention. And that's the point that we're going for. Now, he says, I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I was there before there was a first, and after there's no more last, I'll still be there. In other words, the first and the last. I want us to see tonight that Jesus is really everything. When he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, he is from A to Z. He is all of it. He is all of it. He is everything. He is everything that's good, everything that's wonderful, everything that's lovely, everything righteous. As we talked about before, you know, we can trust him because he's good. We can trust him because he's righteous. Well, I don't know how this is going to happen. Well, aren't you the child of God? I don't understand all these divisions. I don't understand all of these other. Well, aren't you a child of God? Amen. Take it to him. Because he's everything. Because there's nothing more powerful than he is. He is from A to Z. You say, well, I have, Brother Trevor, I've got these desires and I don't know what to do with it. When that desire is gone, he'll still be there. And if you look to him, that desire is going to pass away. Whatever it is in your life, he is greater than it. Amen. There's so many people that say, oh, you know, I just can't do it. My sin's so this and my sin's so that. He's greater than it. Amen. How dare we stand here and say, this sin that I have is more powerful than the love of God for me. No, he is everything. Amen. Look at who's doing the speaking here. Look at who we have in our midst. When we sang Jesus is here, what we sang was that Alpha was here, Omega was here, the Almighty, the Immortal, the Eternal One is here in our midst. And what? Well, I don't care what the devil's saying to you, how he's lying to you, that thing is done in the face of Jesus Christ. Because in his very name, demons have to go. So as you sit here this morning and we talk about Jesus Christ, oh my, what else is there? What can hinder you? What can hold you back? Oh, church, he's everything. Oh, truly, truly it is important to know that this is the one doing the speaking. And this is who he is. And truly, if we're going to live a Christian life, to understand that this one, Jesus Christ, is supreme deity. That he is everything. And that he died, rose again, and then poured himself back out on his church. Amen. My goodness, church. Amen. The everything lives inside of you when you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. If you're going to live a Christian life, the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. To recognize that it was Jesus Christ that died, rose again, and lives in you. That is not just a man who lives sinless on the earth, but that is Almighty God. Amen. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, is Revelation 12. So he heard a voice, and he turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. So he turned to see the voice. That's kind of interesting language there, isn't it? Brother Branham says, continues, he says, all right, the first of Revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. He said that a lot in this message. You must know who he is when you hear the voice. All right, the same voice that sounded on Mount Sinai, the same voice that sounded on Mount Transfiguration, the same one like the Son of Man. So you must know who he is when you hear the voice. So, you know, people have been coming to me and saying, you know, Brother Trevor, I appreciate, as we've gone through this curriculum, I've appreciated how much it's been about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And all those people are probably very happy tonight because that's what we're talking about is Jesus Christ. But you know what? It has nothing to do with me. If you're one of the ones who's come and said, you know, I really appreciate it. You know, it's just been, we've done it so slowly and methodical. And it's just, it's been so much about Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you thought it was going to be about. But I understand it. Maybe we can think, oh, well, we thought it was going to be about, Brother Branham and about this things and about these things and about all of these things. And all of those stuff surrounds it. But the first and greatest of all of these things is Jesus Christ. And you can't layer on any other revelations until you know who it is doing the speaking. So yeah, you know, I'm not doing anything but just saying what he said. And if you feel like this message is something else than just the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're missing something. You've caught something different than what's there. You know, my dad, he left the message many years ago before it was trendy and cool, you know, and you know, I praise the Lord that he's not at least against the message. But he said to me one day, he said, you know, Trevor, you're living in a fear-based religion. And I thought, are you listening to the same tapes that I'm listening to? This is the only religion that's not a fear-based religion. The, you know, look, you can get trampled trying to go to, oh, what's that place the Mohammedans go to, the Islam, Mecca. You can get trampled and die going to Mecca. People are so desperate to make their pilgrimages to get there. And if they don't get there, guess what? They're not going to wherever, they're heaven. You know, you've got to do all of these things. There's works you've got to do. If you're Catholic, man, there's like 12 steps you got to do. What is it? Fear-based religion. Those are fear-based religions. You know, but Christianity is the only one that says you don't have to do it because I already did it for you. Because I am Jesus and I've taken it for you already. Because I love you. That's why I did it, is because I love you. And everything else that surrounds it is just relationship with the one who loves you. Amen. Sisters, you wear your hair long and you wear skirts. Why? Because the one that you love likes that. Everything we do in our life is because the one that we love likes it that way. So I will do it that way. You know, my wife, you know, she's learned when she makes a sandwich, the mayo goes all the way to the edge. And it's not because I'm going to beat her. If I get to work and my sandwich doesn't have mayo all the way to the edge, I'm not going to come home and beat my wife. It's not a fear-based relationship. She doesn't, you know, that was not her first instinct, her natural, you know, the way she came into the world. She was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spreading mayo in just the middle. But then one that she loved came along and said, you know, I would really appreciate it if you would just take that all the way to the edge. So she does it that way. And I don't even think it's a burden. She just loves me so much. Right? So that's what we're trying to say here, is this message isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. This message isn't a bunch of this's and that's and we hate the Pentecostals. You've missed it. You've missed it. It's about Jesus Christ. We disagree with the Pentecostals because it's not about Jesus Christ for them. It's not. Oh, no, no, no. You know, yes, it is. No, it's not. It's about their denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. So John heard the voice. Amen. John heard the voice, and it told him who Jesus was. Right? Who was that voice? It was Jesus. And that voice is identifying who he is to John. Amen? So John hears a voice and it tells him, I am Jesus. I'm Alpha and Omega. How do we get to know who he is in our day? Well, we hear a voice. Right? So the voice speaking to John was Christ. How do we get to know this revelation in our day? His voice. The voice tells us who Jesus is. Amen? Follow me with, just stay with me now. But the message then, we know that that's this voice, right? The days of the voice, the seventh angel, right? So this message is a voice. What is this message telling us? Who Jesus is. Oh, but brothers, remember the seven seals and thunders and... No, this message is telling us who Jesus is.
Amen.
And if you haven't got that far in this message, you the cart is way before the horse here.
Right.
Get to Jesus. This message is ringing out. It's trumpeting it out. And it's saying, Jesus Christ. Amen. That the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. That's how, this is the focus of what the message is. It is not a ministry of and to itself. It is not some super, you know, super deal. I had a conversation just yesterday, and a brother was saying, you know, another holiness brother, but not a believer, a message believer, you know, was saying, well, what is the message to you? It's like, man, the message is Christ. I was like, praise God. You know, it's not about you've got to do this and you know, oh my goodness, you know, tapes and you got to do this and you got to, you know, we have those tapes. They are the voice. What are they saying? Jesus Christ, the greatest of all revelations, is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. These are wonderful things, but they are not an end to themselves. They are an end to tell us that Jesus Christ has come in our day. Amen. Amen. So that's what this is about. It's not this fear-based religion, but it is about someone who's knowable, and it was to get us out of, look, these denominations, this is what Brother Branham comes, this message comes to deliver us out of denominations into what? Into a new one? Into a better one? No, into a relationship with person he could know Jesus Christ. You look at what he says in Stature of a Perfect Man. He says, you know, what I was hoping to do is to build the individual. He said, if I can do one thing, I will be happy. At the end of this book, he says, if I can do one thing, and that's to see man achieve a true spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. He wanted to build the individual to a place that they would be the powerhouse by the word. So Brother Branham is coming, this message is coming to take you out of a denomination, to put you as an individual, to get you to meet God. And it's you and God that has a relationship. The prophet brought you into that, and you couldn't have got there without a prophet. You would have been locked in the denomination. But the prophet comes and he brings you to that point where you can be with Jesus Christ. And you can have your own revelation. That's what this is speaking. This voice is speaking. We can turn and we can see, okay, who's doing the speaking? And you can say, well, Brother Branham's doing the speaking. I turn and I see the voice and I see Brother Branham. Now, many people have a problem with this. And that's where a lot of, you know, a lot of denominational people, they'll say, well, you know, Hebrews 1:1, you know, God who in sundry times and divers manners spake unto the people by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his son. Okay. And they kind of basically imply, and then he stopped speaking, except for the book of Revelations came after his son. But who is it? It was his son speaking in the book of Revelations.
Amen.
Ah, so, okay. His son is still speaking then. If it's his son speaking, so it's okay. So, but it wasn't Brother Branham. You know, he wasn't using that. He was speaking it by his son of man ministry.
All right.
He's still speaking by his son. And he used a prophet to do it. See, the problem is look, people just don't like God using people. People just don't like God using people. That's just the way it is. Now, you can, you know, a lot of atheists, they'll have problems with 1 Samuel 15, which is when Samuel comes and he tells Saul, you know, go kill all the Amalekites. Now, if the 1 Samuel 15 said, you know, and God, seeing the iniquities of the Amalekites, you know, he brought down an earthquake and swallowed them all up. They don't have a problem with God doing that so much. But they really have a problem with God using a man to execute his judgment against another man, because somehow that's just mean. People don't like God using people. People don't like God using people. They don't want God to speak through a man. See, they're okay with here in Revelations. It's still the Son of Man speaking in Revelations. And they're okay with it because it's just a mystical voice speaking, you know. There's no man there. But the same voice is speaking through a man in our day, saying the same thing, that Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. And as a matter of fact, it's just proving that, because as he's speaking here with John, he is the Alpha. And as he's speaking here through William Branham, it is the Omega. The same voice that was there in the beginning, it's now here at the end. It's Alpha and Omega. Amen? So it is the same voice speaking, so we can turn, we can see who is doing the speaking, and we see a man there, but we recognize that the one that's actually doing the speaking is Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You say, what is this message about? That the one, the Alpha that spoke in John's day and in Paul's day is now Omega, and he's speaking and he's saying the same thing. That the supreme, the greatest of all revelations, the first of all revelations, is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. This message, foundationally, is that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
That's what this is. And so don't get confused and get, you know, gets worked up somewhere else and in other things. Those things are there and they're part of it, but the basis of it is Jesus Christ in our day.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Good, brother.
This message literally is the manifestation of Christ in our day.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, when the Bible, when the scriptures say that I'm going to send Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, when the scriptures say that I'm going to send, there's going to be a day of the voice of a seventh angel, and then a seventh angel comes, it's just the manifestation of what? The Word. And if it's a manifestation of the Word, and the Word is Jesus Christ, then what is this message? Literally, the manifestation of Christ in our day. You know, Moses, and then we have types in the Bible that this is fulfilling. Moses, he's there on a mountain. He's got a pillar of fire. And it tells him, you know what? There's a people who were in a land. Abraham was in the right land. Those people got out of a land and into Egypt, which is a type of denominations. And then God sends a man with a pillar of fire to take them out of the denominations, out of Egypt, and into the land that they originally were in, but for some reason weren't there anymore. And then we have, you know, a man with a pillar of fire, and that there was a people that were in a Pentecostal situation and were in a place that they were supposed to be in, but then they somehow got out of that place, and then God sends a man with a pillar of fire to take them out and back to the place they originally were in, because the Alpha has become Omega. And Scripture, what is this message? It's Jesus Christ being fulfilled and manifested in this day. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what this message is. It is Jesus Christ in our day. Oh my. Glory. I just love it. If you can ever get to really see the Word, you will be seeing Jesus.
Amen.
Let me, you know, in case, let's just make sure we say, you know, if you can ever get to really see the Word, this message, what are you going to see?
Jesus.
You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. You know, if you're ever going to get to see the Word, what are you going to see? Jesus. Yeah, you should read this with your family. Don't give up, church.
Amen.
Don't give up, church. It's Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
You're going to know him. You're going to understand him. He's going to change your life because he's supreme deity. He is everything. Continue on. I saw seven golden candlesticks. What are those seven golden candlesticks? And this types right into where we're going. Is this what it's talking about? This little picture here of this candelabra? No. This is not candlesticks that are being talked about.
Right.
Turn in your Bibles. I don't have the slides. Turn in the Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are on the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof." So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, and saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Glory.
So this man sees Zechariah, this prophet, he sees a candlestick. He sees this. Maybe, I don't know exactly, but, you know, best representation I could find on the internet. So this is what he sees. And the angel says, knowest thou not what these be? Do you not know what this is? You know, and Zechariah, you know, he could have looked and said, well, you know, it's looks like a candlestick. I mean, isn't that what you would have answered? I would have said, I know what that is. It's a gold lighty thing. And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered, Zechariah is probably more prudent than I am. And then he answered and spake unto me, look at the answer. Look at the answer. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So he sees this, and the angel's answer to what this is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we go, that's interesting right there. What's that? It's a candlestick, though. That's what it is. But the angel says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Jesus. Now, so John 15, we see this reminds us of something that Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And this will be in your assignment is to read John 15. He says, now he is the main vine and we are the branches. And this, if you maybe recognize, you've probably heard Brother Branham many times talk about being with Brother John Sherritt and being at his ranch and seeing a tree, something like this, that's an orange tree, but it's got all kinds of different fruits on it. And talking about how other fruits can be grafted into the tree. And he said, oh, okay, but then next year it'll produce all oranges again. He said, no, each branch will produce the life that's in that branch, but it can take the citrus life out of that main vine and produce the different varying fruits. But if it ever produces another original branch, it's going to be oranges.
Right.
Amen. So what is this then? Why are we equating these things? Why is the candlestick and now, but it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now he says, Brother Branham says, every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They are dead to themselves, and their lives are hid with Christ in God. They are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. So we see this. What's going on is then this candlestick has oil in it. Let me come back to this picture really quick. This candlestick has oil in it. And then each one of these has a wick going down the stem in down into the bowl and drawing from the same oil. And so we'll find that each one of these one of these sevens represents each one of them a church age. But what we find here is that he's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This one like the Son of Man. This one who says he's Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ walking amongst the seven golden candlesticks. We'll find that there was no one else there, but that's another lesson. But why is he there? And why is each believer dramatically depicted here? It's because not only did each church age draw from the same original oil, that oil of the Holy Ghost, but each person, every single one sitting here with the Holy Ghost, the fire that you're shining to everyone else in this dark age, it's because you've got a wick that's going down that stem, down into that same vial of Holy Ghost. Everyone is just drawing from it. How are you burning? Are you setting a wax candle there and lighting it, and then it burns down and burns down and burns down and burns down, and you know, or maybe you've put it sideways and you've lit it at both ends because you're trying so hard to be a good Christian, you know. And praise God, good for you. I love it. Love your zeal. Love your passion. Be a great Christian. Love it. But if you're a wax candle and you're sitting sideways and you got the wick on both ends and you're burning down both ends, what happens? Man, you got to get another candle. At some point in time, you run out. but not so those that are in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because that oil, it never runs out. That oil is always added to and added to and added to, and those wicks can just continually burn. They don't have to I'm trying to be brighter. I'm trying to be a bright flame. No. There's oil down there, and the thing got lit. That's all it took. Just lit. Brother Branham says, you know, should you go get your education? No, tell them how your candle got lit. Why? Because it's drawing from oil. And it's only going to get brighter. You just had to light it. And then the Holy Ghost comes and he takes, look, the cry in our hearts is for what? Rest. Rest. You see how these things begin to connect with one another. We rest in the Holy Ghost, and it's he's the one that makes the candle flame go. He takes care of everything. You're justified. Don't worry about your sins. You're justified. Just look at Jesus. You don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to worry about the things that you're afraid of, the things that you're worried about, the things that, what about my children? What about the this and what about the that? Jesus is greater. The Alpha is the Omega, and he's here today in our midst. Amen. Jesus is here. Amen. And you're dipped into him, and you're lit, and that wick will just continually pull from that oil. Amen? Christian life is so difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to be a believer. All these things that you have to do, and just swim, let your wick just swim in the oil of the Holy Ghost. And it will just happen. See what it says here? See now. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God, fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them, for death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be unto God, they have this victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. What are you worried about, church? Amen. Jesus is here. You say, now, but Brother Trevor, it says they're protected from death, but we still, we still could die tomorrow. Mm-hmm, you could. This body. But that second death doesn't apply to you.
Amen.
In the meetings there in Florida, I preached at Brother West Coast Church. It was a joint meeting, and we had a sister come in. I mean, literally just kind of barged into the minister study after the sermon. And I had said, hey, if you're struggling, I'd love to talk to you after the service. So she just, no problems, and just walks right into the minister study, and there's four of us sitting there, and it's like, God bless you, sister. And she's mad at God. She doesn't understand why God let this thing happen, and why God let that thing happen to her. And, her parents don't, they've got some cultural issues, and they're not helpful, and they just think she should just be happy because she has a roof over her heads. And well, amen, that's partially true. But she's mad at God. She doesn't understand these things. Why do these things happen? Look, bad things can't happen to you. Yeah, absolutely. But in the grand scheme of things, just you start getting mad at God. I've just been reading through Job, and Elihu comes, and he's just like, look, you justified yourself, not God. If you came and recognized that God doesn't have to answer to you, and to recognize, that so many of the things that God puts on us are actually for our good.
Amen.
They're for our good. They hurt. They hurt terribly. They're real. But if we focus on that, we lose sight of who? Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the Eternal One. He's the great I am. He is everything. Why would we take our focus off of him and put it down on these problems that we're having? And I know it's easier said than done, but just because it's easier said than done does not mean that it is not a reality. And there are far too many, we were talking with this sister, and we were talking with a sister, and she's like, praying, you could pray for me, but that ain't going to help. I'm like, well, yeah, no, probably not. Not with your faith in that condition. No, you're right. It's just words. She said, it's just words. Is that what you feel like this message is? And when I say that God is real, is that just words to you? No. reality. Amen. That God is the I am. That God is everything. That God is someone we can just look to when the problems seem to surround us so bad. When it looks like I'm surrounded. What does the song say? That I'm surrounded by you. Oh, Elisha's servant there, he thought they were surrounded. But he recognized, I'm surrounded by a host of angels. I'm surrounded by Jesus Christ. I'm surrounded by God. So that puts us in nighttime. If it's lampstands, candlesticks, and stars, and we're supposed to be shining brightly, that means that, yes, we're living in nighttime. It is the closing hours of this world. We are in night, and we do need to shine brightly. And the only way we do that is by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by anything manufactured or anything we do, but to just rest in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, God bless you. Your assignment is lessons 11, just lesson 11, and your memorization work. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Maybe the musicians can come on up. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are great, Lord. You are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, you are everything that your word here declared that you are. And we want to tell you, Lord, that we believe you to be that. We're so thankful, Lord, that when a voice spoke in John's day, it was Jesus Christ speaking. And when a voice spoke in our day, it's Jesus Christ speaking. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see that. To see that what it is, it's all about you, Lord. And it's about our relationship with you. And there's many things that we can understand and have revelation about, Father. But, Lord, if we've missed that you, the loving Lord Jesus Christ, are the great I am, that you are supreme deity, that you care as supreme deity, you still care about each one of us. And love us and died for us. Oh God, may we see it. Open the eyes of those that are blind to it, Lord God, that are so confused or wondering what this is all about, or maybe have just had it misrepresented. It's so bad to them so many times. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'd open their eyes that they might see Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.